I would say 80% of the podcast hosts are on LinkedIn. So again, research, research, research. You go to LinkedIn, you find a podcast host you want to get in touch with, and then you start to communicate. And because we are all human and we just, you know, we just have to start to talk, and you have to pitch yourself and tell them that you listened to an episode, what you liked about that episode, and what was unique about that episode, because that's nice. And it's a great feeling for the host too. Plus, it's also important to leave a review, because hosts love reviews and they love guests who leave reviews for them on iTunes, especially a 5-star one. So yeah, do that and tell them that you did.
Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast helping solopreneurs find your micro influencer magic. I'm your host, Candace Rodarte, and this week I'm joined by Noemi Berez. So Noemi is the co-owner of Podcast Connections. She helps entrepreneurs and business owners share their knowledge and connects them to quality podcast shows. Noemi is also dedicated to helping experts grow their business through interviews. She has been working in online marketing since 2007 and holds a master's degree in Danish literature and language. Noemi is a linguist, content creator, and master organizer. On top of that, she's also a collage artist. She creates hand-sewn collages on canvas using old photos, postcards, colorful yarn, and textiles. Welcome.
Thank you, Candice. It's an honor to be here.
This is the second or third time we've had a conversation, and I really love your vibe, and I love your story, and I want you to share your story with the audience. So tell us your story. How'd you get to where you are today?
Well, as you mentioned, I have a master's degree in Danish literature and in language. And yeah, I was an exchange student in Denmark when I was a teenager. So that was a very important step in my life, because I became an adult and like very suddenly from like age 16, 17. And I had a passion for travel and I didn't want to stay where I lived. So when I actually finished university, I decided to go abroad, and my husband followed me, obviously. So we moved first to Ireland, and you know, it's a beautiful country with a lot of rain and sheep and everything. And it was a nice place to be. And I started to work in a call center. Where else? I mean, you are freshly graduated. You don't know what to do with yourself and you need to earn money. So I ended up there with working like-minded young people worldwide. And it was fun, but I knew that I destined to do more stuff and to have a more interesting job than working in a call center with a university degree. So I decided I want to be an entrepreneur. And so I became one. We started our online travel related business in 2007. And it wasn't an easy decision to make or an easy step. But I just plunged into this new life to be an entrepreneur at age, I don't know, it was in my late 20s. But it was fun. And I became a part of a member of different networking groups in Ireland. And I really enjoyed that. And that was from 2007 until 2020. So this whole online travel-related business continued until then. And I was doing content creation. I was working in the background, you know, writing blog posts, and social media was my cup of tea. So I liked it. I loved it until 2020 and COVID hit us and the whole travel industry collapsed and we had to figure out what to do with our business. And that was our like big turning point in our life and in our family, because yeah, you have to make a living, you have to pay your bills and your school and everything. So that's when our mentor from Ireland advised us to start, you know, something, to start a business in podcasting, because podcasting is booming. COVID helped the podcast business booming, and it's still booming. And that's how we started. That's how we started our podcast booking agency in 2020. And since then, I'm doing interviews, I'm organizing interviews, I'm on interviews. If I'm not a guest, I'm organizing guesting opportunities for our clients. Yeah, in a nutshell, that's how I was formed in the past 20 years.
So I would love to know how many different countries you've lived in.
I lived in Hungary, because that's my home country. I was born and raised there. And then I ended up in Denmark as an exchange student when I was 16, 17. Then after that, we moved to Denmark again. Then we moved to Ireland, and then we moved to Cyprus in 2011. So yeah.
Living the dream. You're living the dream. And for folks in the United States who may be listening to this podcast and not even know where Cyprus is, explain to them that it's the island of the gods, right?
Yeah, and the cats, because we have more cats than people here, like 1 million cats. So more cats than people, about 700,000 people live here on this tiny Mediterranean island in the eastern part of the Mediterranean, very close to Israel and Syria. So we have this Mediterranean vibe, but it's very multicultural right now, and it's just becoming more and more multicultural. But it's a great place to raise a kid and to live a nice life in the sun.
And isn't it mentioned in many Greek mythologies?
Yes, of course. The Aphrodite, you know, obviously that's connected to Ireland. Aphrodite's rock actually is not far from where I live. It's like, 30, 40 minutes drive. So you can visit actually the rock, and yeah, it's a beautiful place. And all the tourists go there all the time.
I love it. So you live full time in a tourist destination. That's so much fun. Yeah. Okay. The podcasting thing did take off in 2020, and I would really love to be able to spend as much time as possible making this a very valuable episode for people who are thinking about being guests on podcasts. Because I'm, as a podcaster, I'm telling you that it's a lot easier on your schedule and your time if you are a guest on other people's show. And it's also more advantageous if you, from a marketing angle, because you're still meeting a lot of great people, but they're promoting you. You're not promoting them, right? So being a guest is brilliant. And I actually decided that I am not guesting enough on other shows. So I've added it to my marketing strategy to be a guest on more shows starting this year, which is different for me because I'm not used to being on the other side of the microphone. This is my ninth year podcasting. So I'm not used to being on the other side of the microphone. So tell me, who is the perfect person to consider being a guest on podcasts?
The perfect person knows what they want to talk about, you know, because they are first of all, they are interested in the podcast they want to be a guest on. That's a very important step. So you have to look up that podcast. You have to listen to those episodes, and you have to feel that vibe that connects to the host and to that actual podcast. And plus, you have to be clear about what you want to talk about, because if you're not, you're not giving enough value and you're not adding value to that podcast. So do your research, do your homework, listen to those episodes if you want to be a good podcast guest, and then just figure out what you want to talk about. And does it align with the topic of the podcast? That's also an important step to be a good guest, obviously. That's the first step that you have to follow. And then when you decided that, like, okay, I want to do this or that podcast, then you have to prepare yourself and have a nice bio or one sheet ready, and to start promoting yourself to those hosts. And a nice one sheet would include like a short bio about your work and yourself. And obviously, you know, social links, they are also important. Then website, and also topics, suggested talking points, that's also should be included in a bio or on a one pager. So if you want to be a good guest, you have to prepare yourself to promote yourself, to pitch yourself to that host. And then you'll find the host. And that's not that complicated, actually. Most of the time you can find an email, or you can get in touch with them on LinkedIn. I would say 80% of the podcast hosts are on LinkedIn. So again, research, research, research. You go to LinkedIn, you find a podcast host you want to get in touch with, and then you start to communicate. And because we are all human, and we just have to start to talk, and you have to pitch yourself and tell them that you listened to an episode, what you liked about that episode, and what was unique about that episode, because that's nice. And it's a great feeling for the host too. Plus, it's also important to leave a review, because hosts love reviews, and they love guests who leave reviews for them on iTunes, especially a 5-star one. So yeah, do that and tell them that you did, because obviously that's very appreciative and very grateful as well. It's a nice act to do. And then the host probably most likely to, you know, to start to chat with you. You can set up a call, you can set up a pre-call, you can just start to communicate with the host and you can take it from there. Once you started communicating with the host, you know, normally it's a good sign. And once you have a pre-call with the host, maybe it's also a good sign that they will accept you on their show. So, yeah.
That's awesome. All of those are awesome advice. And yes, if somebody says, hey, I listened to your show and left you a 5-star review, and I think I could add value to your audience because I'm going to say yes to that person if I do in alignment with what they think they can add value with. Now, if they say they think they can add value and they pitch me on something that's completely unrelated to gratitude, I'm going to be like, maybe not, but you know what? I appreciate the review. So let me introduce you to another podcaster who I think might be a better fit for you. And I've done that many times because smart podcasters network with each other.
Exactly. That's so true. Yeah.
I want to add something to the review though. It's not iTunes. I don't have an Apple and I don't use iTunes. So I don't leave iTunes reviews, but I use an app called Good Pods. And they don't pay me anything. Good Pods doesn't give me, I'm not a referral partner or affiliate with Good Pods. I just really love their platform. It's a player, so you can listen to shows on your phone or on your computer. And it's also a community. So you can interact with the podcaster and leave messages and reviews and comments on particular episodes, episode level comments. So if you are looking to pitch podcasters, I highly recommend interacting with them on Good Pods because then you can actually have a conversation with them at the podcast level. So I just wanted to add that to what Noemi said. Okay. So now what I heard from you at the very beginning was that it's people who have a good message, a good podcast guest, which included anybody in any field, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, it doesn't really matter. We work with different clients and different fields, different niches, but as long as you have a message and you are happy to share it and you don't treat the podcast interview as an advertisement, but you treat it as a form of education. So you're trying to educate people and share your knowledge on those podcasts. That's very important. Yeah.
So let's expand on making your pitch to the podcaster more remarkable. How do you do that?
Your pitch should be unique. That's why it's important to include, as you said, an episode that you liked, because that makes it more unique. Plus, you know, when you try to pitch yourself, just try to give value and try to explain what you're good at and what you're happy to talk about. And just a couple of examples. But it's also important to include maybe one of your best podcast interviews you ever had. And check out my interviews so you can have a vibe what I do, because many hosts ask you for a sample or a couple of samples, like from iTunes or Listen Notes or whatnot, to provide a host with a couple of interviews, because they like newbies when it comes to podcast guesting, but they prefer established podcast guests. Who've been on different podcasts before. So yeah, give them a couple of examples of your best episodes. That's also helps to design.
So Listen Notes is not a tool I use very often, but I know a lot of podcasters really love it. Mm-hmm. So because I raved and you know, talked nice things about Good Pods, could you explain what Listen Notes is for the audience?
Listen Notes is a tool, basically, where you can search for different podcasts and you can get some information about those podcasts, like listenership, which tier are those podcasts in that you want to target, and like a couple, like more information when you need information about like specific podcasts. You just go there, you do your research, and it will pop up with all the information you need. I wouldn't say it's like 150% reliable, all the data that you can find there, but I would say like 80% of the data is okay. Because most of the time, the hosts are not so open about their listenership, the downloads. You know, it's usually not open to everyone. And if you ask them, they might tell you the details, but it's not official. It's not public.
I thought that they read that they got their numbers from your stream, that they can log into your RSS feed and figure out what your downloads and stuff are.
Yeah, some, I think they do. Some of them they do, but they just don't want to share that information for some reason.
So on Listen Notes, they tell you where the podcast is in the grand scheme of things, right? Yes, so there's millions of podcasters, podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. And some of them have three episodes because people start a podcast and then realize how hard it is. And some of them have hundreds of episodes. And Listen Notes will rate. They won't, it's like, they don't give you a number. They just give you a percentage. So do you have a, like a target percentage? Like, are they in the top 10%, top 20%? What, who are the best podcasts to pitch yourself to in terms of if you're on Listen Notes and you're researching?
Yeah, it's top five to top 10, but you know, if it's top 2% or 0.5 is even better. But normally it's the, I would go for the top five, top 10, maximum 10%.
I haven't checked in a while, but I think I'm in the top half percent, but I might be wrong. I might be wrong. This show's been on for a long time. I just want to look it up. Hey, we're going to look it up together. Audience, Gratitude Geek Podcast on Listen Notes is in, dun-da-da-dun. Oh, top 10%. I think I've gone down. I've gone down. So, okay.
That is a very good number. I'm telling you, that's a good place.
I thought I was higher than that, though. So I'm going to have to work a little harder. All right. So I just called myself out. Okay. So Noemi's saying that 10%, top 10% is a good number. So if you're doing your own research, you go, so this is the workflow that it sounds like we're talking about here. We're creating a workflow together, Noemi. So you go and do your research on Listen Notes and you find podcasts to pitch, and then you go over to Good Pods and you start interacting with the podcaster, and then you find them on LinkedIn and you follow them on LinkedIn, right? And that creates a relationship. So talk to me about building a relationship with a podcaster.
It's all about building relationships. The whole podcasting world is about networking and building relationships. So if you want to be in podcast, you have to build those relationships, because they're not going to just come to you and approach you out of thin air. So you have to do your work. And I network a lot. I always, for example, hang out myself, like where the hosts hang out, because that's an important place for me. But I know, and I love hosts, and we depend on each other, because it's like, you know, it's 50-50 for everyone. It's like, I give you great guests, and you know, it's a great relationship, but you always have to find them and do your work. And I'm not saying it's easy, because building a relationship, it always takes time, and you have to be patient, consistent, and persistent. That's all the three most important attributes you need to have to get on those shows. Absolutely. That's so true. Yeah.
So speaking of relationships, I will accept any guests that you pitch me. Thank you. We created a relationship with each other before you started pitching guests to my show. Other people who do the same thing that you do will send random emails with six different downloads of headshots and one sheets and say, this person would be a great guest on your show, where honestly, I would rather they say, hey, I'm Fred and I am a podcast promoter or a podcaster, podcast guest promoter, and I am looking to build relationships with podcast hosts, so that I can determine whether or not your show is a good fit for my client. And then I would say, sure, let's chat about who you work with. But if you just throw one sheets at me, I don't have time for that, because you didn't build a relationship with me. So your business, the way that you run your business, makes it easier for the guest, because you've done the relationship building and you've done it really well. And you know all the places to go. Whereas if they work with somebody else, here I am pitching you, right? This is me endorsing you as a podcast.
Thank you.
Red Hunter, right? Where you have taken the time to build the relationship. And anytime you pitch someone to me, I'm going to say yes, because I like you, right? And so I trust that you are going to bring a good guest to my show. And you have. I've interviewed at least one of your clients, and I think I have another one or two on my schedule. So yeah, I just say yes to your clients, because I already know that you've done the vetting process for me. So thank you.
I mean, you have to treat it. Thank you. Thank you so much for your kind word, Candice. And it's important to to know that this is a long-term relationship, and you have to, like a flower, you know, you have to take care of it and tend it, and you know, just sending those cards, and you know, that I got from you today, it was so funny, and I loved it. But it's all about these relationships and sharing our stories and know more about each other. And yeah, it's I love it, because it's just not about business, it's about relationships and stories and human connection.
So just the listener is going to know that I often talk about greeting cards, because I think they're a brilliant way to market and build relationships. So tell me how you felt when you opened the card.
I was so surprised, because I usually don't get cards anymore. And especially not in Cyprus, when your postman comes around like in every 2 weeks. And so it's not so common, you know, when they come. So I was so surprised, and it was a great feeling. It's like, oh my God, I love this card and the unique text. And yeah, and then you made it personal as well. So yeah, it was fun and I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I always love to get the feedback of how, because I send several thousand cards a year, because it's my marketing piece. Like when my husband and I had a custom furniture business, we advertised in a specific magazine that was specific to our niche, right? And it was $750 an ad. And when I found the system that I use to send these greeting cards now, which is the sponsor of today's show, Send Out Cards. It's not the sponsor of the show. I'm an affiliate with Send Out Cards. So it's an affiliate relationship, but I want to clarify that. But when I found this tool, I shifted a lot of that money that I was spending on advertising to sending these cards and gifts. And the results were better. So $750 for a magazine ad versus $300, $400 a month for sending out gifts to our clients. Those gifts to the clients turned into photographs that they emailed to us, testimonials that they sent to us, rave reviews, where if they could leave a rave review. And those photographs and those testimonials were used to gather new clients. So it was this never-ending circle, and it was less expensive than the advertising, but way more effective. So that business is no longer in business, but I am still a huge fan of using greeting cards for marketing, because it's not marketing, it's sending good vibes, right? A greeting card is a good vibe. It's a good vibe.
It is indeed. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to podcasting. What do you do? Now, we've talked about we've talked about how to pitch someone yourself, but what do you do? What do you take off the plate for a podcast guest?
We always tell to our potential clients when we had our first chat that we save you time and energy and money, because why are we going to, you know, look for those podcasts and search, do our research work, which, you know, it's very time consuming. Then you can either run your business and do your stuff and do your social media pages, whatever you're doing. And, you know, we take care of the rest. So it's a done for you service that we provide for our clients. So we organize everything. We fill out all those lengthy forms and submit them, and emails back and forth many times, rescheduling, canceling, anything that comes. And yeah, so we do everything. And you just have to be ready for that interview. And, you know, just log on to that Zoom link or StreamYard link or whatever link the host is using, and just have to tell your story and share your knowledge. We do the rest.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. Okay, so.
Are you tired of struggling with follow-up? Do you want to stand out from the crowd but find it difficult to do so in a convenient and easy way? Look no further than Send Out Cards. With Send Out Cards, you can easily stay in touch with those who matter most, celebrate important events, and stay top of mind with just a few clicks on your computer or taps on your phone. In today's world of overflowing inboxes and empty mailboxes, Send Out Cards provides a personal touch that people truly appreciate. Don't get lost in the sea of technology. Go old school with Send Out Cards. Check out the link in the show notes to send your first card free on me, or visit momgeek.com/cards.
How often should someone be a guest on a podcast if they're using podcasting as a marketing tool? And then what should they do after they've been a guest?
Yeah, a great question, Candice. Yeah, as many times as you can. There was a very wise lady from Microsoft, and she's like a top PR lady there at the Microsoft company. And I had a chat with her, I think that was last year, and she told me just try to light those small fires everywhere and just go to any podcast that in your niche, and that will build a momentum for your business. Just do as many as you can. Obviously, you have your time limits and energy and money and, you know, budget limits, but as many as you can. And you don't necessarily have to be on the top podcast or the celebrity podcast talking about Tony Robbins or Amy Porterfield to reach your goals, because the listeners on the celebrity podcast are not necessarily are interested in you, but in Tony Robbins or Amy Porterfield. So try to focus on your niche and try to be as in many podcasts as you can. I mean, and the second part of the question, yeah, after this interview is done, and many people think, okay, that's done and dusted, whatever, next one. No, you have to work on that interview. And it's very important to give a feedback to the host. Just send a thank you note after the next day. Like, what did you like about the episode? Or how did you feel? What was the vibe? Because they love feedback. So you're always welcome to give feedback to the host about their interviews and say thank you. It just appreciate that, because all the podcasters are doing an awesome job and a lot of work. And some people, they don't even imagine, oh, that's just an interview. Yeah, but it takes time, effort, money, energy. And it's very, very time consuming to create an episode and say thank you and try to network. As we mentioned before, try to build a relationship with the host, even after the interview. You can do it before, but once you have that relationship and that connection with the host, you can just, you know, continue that in the future. And obviously, you don't have to do it with all of the podcast hosts, but if there's a podcast host of the same vibe and you can do something together, you can you know, be in each other's mastermind group, or you can be in each other's Facebook group. There's an endless opportunity after an interview. You just have to use it wisely. So that's why it never stops, and nothing ever stops after an interview. That everything begins, basically.
I just want to reiterate the same thank you thing. I send a thank you card to every guest that's on my show, and I make it a pretty special thank you. Sometimes I send a gift if the guest was really awesome. And I can count on one hand of the over 200 interviews that I've done of the guests that have sent me a thank you card. Only 3% of people send thank you cards. So it's remarkable and memorable. So if you were doing that one little thing, even the thank you note, if you're just doing that one little thing, and it doesn't take you very long to say, thanks so much for having me on your show. I really had fun. Stamp, mail, true, right? Or use a service like Send Out Cards. It makes a huge difference in the relationship, because if I get a thank you note as a host, if I get a thank you note, I'm going to want to think, oh, who else could she be a good guest? You know, who else do I know that she'd make a good guest for? Or who do I know who needs to hire Noemi? Or who do I know that I need to connect her to because they would be good synergistic relation, you know, referral partners? Or who do I know? Like, I'm already thinking, I have an idea in my head that I'm not going to say on air, but I have an idea in my head for Noemi that would enhance her business. I'm always doing that for the people who show appreciation. This is a gratitude show. This show is about gratitude. If you're going to be a guest on my show, send me a thank you card, right? Yeah, show me that you appreciate that you are a grateful person by sending a thank you card. Wow, I didn't mean to get on my soapbox there. I love it. Do you want to add to that?
No, I agree with you 100%. I love it. And it's a great way, but you know, sometimes people don't even send a thank you email, which is even like easier because it takes about like 2 seconds and they just don't bother with that. But it's sad, and we should do it much more often and just say thank you to people for whatever and being grateful and for whatever they do for us.
So let's talk about repurposing the interview. So you've been on a show, it's their show, it's their RSS feed, it's their gig, right? But they've probably posted it to social media. So what do you do with their social media post?
Obviously, you can share it. And that's a good start. So if you have a post on LinkedIn, if the host has a post on LinkedIn, Facebook, you know, whichever platform they use, it's a great way to just start to share it. Or you can create your own audiograms, videograms, or even quote cards from that interview, and you can start to share yourself. Just be proactive. You don't have to wait for the host, because some hosts won't do it. And I've seen that before. They are brilliant hosts, but they won't share that part, and they're not going to prepare audiograms or videograms. But most of them, they do. And just let's start sharing everything that you have, because doing interviews, create a lot of content, and it's evergreen content. It's going to stay in Google forever about you and your business. So why don't you just share it as many times as you can? Like, maybe you specify like a day in a month that, okay, on a Monday, like every month, I'm going to promote that podcast that I was on. So because some people, they just missed it maybe on social media, they're not going to, they just scroll through too quickly. So they didn't even notice that you were a guest on that podcast. But if you do it like repeatedly, month after month, and you're just creating content for yourself, so you mm-hmm. don't really have to work for it because you already created the content. Or if you ask the permission of the host, from the host, you can always make a blog post out of the interview, or mm-hmm. and share it on your blog, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. you can do anything you want, if you have the permission, of course, because you can't do it without it. But I always ask, and many times I ask the host for the audio files, and they're happy to do that. Like, I would say 90% of the time they will give you that audio file, and you can use it and share it and cut it up and make some clips, video clips, and share it on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatnot, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way to repurpose content, because this content is for yourself. So you don't treat it as, the host didn't make any audiograms or videograms for me. That's a way, but you can be proactive and do your own business and do your stuff and just spread the news, because that's good for your business and good for the host as well.
So you said audiograms, videograms, and then you also said something cards.
Quote cards. Like if you said something wise, or like a golden nugget that comes out of your episode, you can, like I said that on that particular podcast, and put your name underneath, and you can make this easy. It takes about 2 minutes on Canva, and you just post it. So I said that on that show.
So you said gold card?
No, it's quote card.
Sorry, Ryan. I'm sorry. I'm just a dumb American. I'm sorry. That's a great idea. That is a great idea. Okay, so you don't need the raw file to make audiograms. There is a tool called Headliner, and Headliner will automate the process for you, and all you need is the RSS feed. So you just need the link of the episode.
Yeah.
And that is brilliant. You don't even need the link of the episode. You can actually just put in the name of the podcast, and then it'll pull up a list of episodes, and you pick the one that you want to do the audiogram from. Thank you for that reminder. I have a couple of those I need to do.
And actually, I have an extra tip, which I discovered online doing my researches. There was a lady who actually made a Spotify list, like a public Spotify list of all of her podcast interviews, and I did the same. So you just collect your interviews and you add it to this public Spotify list, and you can share it with anyone. And then they can see like how many interviews have been on, and they can just listen to them, and they don't have to do anything. Just click on that link and everything is there.
That's a good idea. I actually have a tag in my blog for guest appearances. And so I do a blog post about every guest appearance mm-hmm. I'm in I embed the audio file from their feed into the show. And then I talk about what I enjoyed about the show or the host. So I have that list, but doing the Spotify list is an even better idea. I think I'm going to do that today. Thank you for that.
It's very quick. It's so quick. And the other thing that we usually advise our clients to have a dedicated page on their website for their interviews. It's like a media page, but for podcast interviews. So you just add all these interviews on your page, and people can just it's so easy just to click on your site and find those interviews and listen to them straight away. Yeah.
So if you have a WordPress website, you can actually do what I do with the blog post, and then have the page and embed mm-hmm. the post, so that you have a whole page of all the embeds of the posts. Brilliant. Right. So I love it when I talk to somebody and we can just add ideas. This is masterminding at its finest, right? We just keep layering on top of each other's ideas. It's fabulous. But the Spotify thing, that's a really good idea. Are there, there are other players that will let you make playlists like other than Spotify. So whichever, don't just start a Spotify account so you can do this. I'm sure that whatever audio player you use will allow you to do something. And, or I think you can even do it with Good Pods. Again, I'm a huge fan of Good Pods. I love being able to interact with people with the chat on the Good Pods platform. I mean, how, where else can you listen to a podcast and then have a conversation about it with somebody? So cool.
So cool. Yeah, very cool.
It's so cool. Okay, did we miss anything? Is there anything else we should talk about?
Anything you want to talk about?
I want to hear about your art. Tell me about your collages.
Well, I was always a creative type since I was a teenager. And, you know, I'm a Scorpio and I love to be on my own. And I love my own personal space. And when I'm creating art, that's my own personal space and everybody has to leave me alone that time and even my family. And so I started to do collages about 11 years ago. And I started to make paper collages, digital ones. I really enjoy them as well. And I you know, I still do them from time to time, but the most important part is now making collage on canvas. It's pretty unique. And I try to find other people, they do the same, but I couldn't really find anyone because I don't use glue, I sew them. So it's like sewing things on a canvas. And it's a bit harder and it's more time consuming, but it's very relaxing and it's kind of meditation for me. So I get after a stressful day with the clients and podcasts and hosts, I can relax and do my artsy stuff. And you can do it from anywhere. You can be in bed in the evening and you can just sew these little, you know, small pieces together. And most of these small pieces are coming from my memories, from my past, from my family's past. And yeah, it's just like, you know, sewing memories.
And there's the thread probably adds texture to the pieces.
Yeah, true.
It just enhances the texture. So are those your pieces behind you?
Yeah, they are actually. Yeah. But this one is from Greece and that was like a trip.
It looks very Greek.
Yeah, it is. And that one is an upcycled one because I didn't like the original one. So I just, it was more abstract.
I love it. I love it. I upcycled my own art.
Yeah, sometimes I do.
Okay, so let's talk about your favorite marketing tool, tip, or technique.
Obviously, podcast guesting. I mean, that's like podcast marketing is one of the best tools we can use nowadays, and it's just becoming more and more popular. Compared to just doing advertising, like Facebook advertising, Insta advertising, it's I think it's more efficient in different ways because, as I mentioned before, you create evergreen content, and it's not going to disappear when your ad founds, you know. Disappeared the content you're creating, it's going to stay there forever, and it's awesome. So yeah, I can just recommend it.
Yeah, so let's recap the steps to being a guest on a show. First, you need a message.
Yes.
And you need a headshot and a one sheet.
Yeah, you have to prepare yourself. Yeah,
so quickly, what should be on the one sheet other than your headshot and your bio?
Your contact details, your links, your website, important. And the topics that you want to talk about during a conversation that you are most comfortable with and you have the most knowledge about. That's very important. And they have to be unique, eye-catching, and not general. It's important to pick those topics that will catch the eye and the host will pick you because let's say you talk about marketing and you can't put a topic as marketing. I mean, you have to specify, is it podcast marketing? Is it any kind of marketing you want to do? Or, you know, be specific. It's really important. Be unique and specific about your topics because those topics will stand out and will catch the eye of the host. And otherwise, it just...
This morning, I went to a networking meeting and the mobile massage therapist who was there at the meeting, her commercial was so specific. She was talking about how she wants to be introduced to people who turn into the Incredible Hulk when they are tired and grumpy because she wants to help massage them back into Bruce Banner. Mm. Was that not a brilliant commercial?
It is. It's brilliant. That's the way.
Everybody knows somebody who gets either hangry or grumpy when they're tired. Everybody knows someone who does that. So immediately people are like, oh yeah, I know someone who gets really really cranky when they're tired, and shouldn't be around real people. Shouldn't be around other people when they're that way. I mean, and so it was, not only did everybody laugh, but everybody's eyes lit up and were like, oh yeah, I know somebody. So yeah, the more specific, the better. The more specific, exactly. The better. That's great advice. And also I would recommend putting a couple of testimonials on your one sheet if you have room.
True. Yeah. Yeah. If you have room, just do it, because that's a great proof that you've done something. And if you, maybe on a one sheet, it's a one sheet. You can include one of your previous podcast interviews. You don't have to make a list, but for example, if you have a Spotify list, you can add it. That's a good way. So they can scroll it through. They can have a listen to it and they can decide if they want you or not.
And if you use WordPress, you can also use a tool called PrettyLink. Well, you can even use any link shortener to make Spotify, that really long Spotify link, really short.
Yeah, just make it sweet and short. Yeah.
Okay, so then we've done our headshot. We've got we know what we're going to talk about. We've done our one sheet. Then we start researching shows on Listen Notes. We start interacting with the podcast host on Good Pods or LinkedIn, and then we pitch ourselves. Right? Am I missing any steps?
Then you just wait for that. Yeah, we have an important step that we missed, actually. Once you pitch yourself, I mean, hosts are busy people. So, you know, they might miss your email, or it went to spam, or anything can happen, or just didn't read it. They deleted it by accident. Anything can happen. So never forget to follow up those emails, and at least do it two times. So twice, it's important. And and try to, like, usually I wait a couple of days until the first follow-up, and like maybe a week until the last follow-up. And sometimes I'm just surprised, and they apologizing, and, oh, I'm sorry, I missed your email, but oh yeah, of course, I would love to have your guest. So it's a great way. So don't take it personally if someone doesn't reply to you immediately, like in 2 minutes time or in a week time. I had hosts that I was exchanging emails for a year, and and my guest, you know, became their guest, my client became their guest. So sometimes it takes time. So that's why I mentioned before, patience, persistence, and consistency. It's just so important. But it's in all areas of life, not just podcast guesting.
I have over 12 people. I probably have 5 or 6 interviews that are already recorded right now, as of right now, and probably about 12 people scheduled to interview. So some podcast hosts are really busy. And so, but another suggestion that I have, if you are wanting to pitch yourself, is that if you go to the website of the podcast, a lot of podcasters have a guest intake link.
Yeah.
And that means that they are training you on how to pitch yourself to them. So use their link if they have one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Many of them, all these forms, and you just have to fill them out, because they will ask specific questions. Why do you want to be a guest on the podcast? You know, what's your three, like, most important takeaways? Please listen to my episode. Please leave a review. Sign this, sign that. Yeah, it's important. So you have to follow those steps and take it seriously, because you have to upload your headshot or whatnot, everything. It's just important to take those steps and take your time, because they will realize if you don't do a proper job, and they will say, okay, this is the applicant didn't take me seriously, so why would I take them seriously? So you take your time and just fill out those forms, like, as accurately as possible, and they will reward you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really appreciate it. Okay, I don't normally do this, but I'm really curious. Tell me about a really bad experience you've had as a guest on a show, or one of your clients has had as a guest on a show. You don't have to call anybody out.
No, I won't. No, it was maybe my mistake. I didn't really have a really bad feedback about hosts and my clients, or maybe they just didn't tell me. But one of the most embarrassing experiences I had, it was a host, and I didn't understand her and her accent. And it was bad, because thank God I listened to one of her previous interviews, and they asked the same questions all the time. They have a list of questions, so I knew what they're talking about. But for me, it was like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing when you don't understand someone. And Yeah, okay. English is maybe not my first language, but my second. But I usually understand all kind of accents. I work with Irish people, so British,
I don't
so
understand a word
Scottish.
Irish people say.
I lived there for 7 years, so I mean, so I got used to all these accents, but their accent was just somewhere out of place, and just, I couldn't understand it, and it went on and on, and all these questions, and maybe I answered it right, so it was quite embarrassing, but for me. And it wasn't like a big deal, but I wasn't proud of it, and I was happy that it was over.
Well, and that's the thing about this international platform of podcasting is that this week, it doesn't happen every week, but this week my podcast is in the top 100 on iTunes for marketing in Canada. In Canada.
Congratulations. That's great. I mean,
In Canada. So obviously I have much more Canadian listeners than I have US listeners, but it might just be that there are fewer Canadians, right?
right.
Yeah. So I don't normally, I'm not really into stats, but I do get an email when I hit, the top 100. Like
Yeah.
there's a service, I can't remember the name of the service, Chartable. Chartable sends you an email if you hit
Yes,
the top
true. Yeah.
100. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I go and look, but I don't ever look at my stats. I don't know where my mostly for the most part where my listeners are from. I just know that every once in a while I hit the top 100 in Canada. Every once in a while, not all the time, every once in a while. So it's such an international thing. And yeah, every once in a while you're going to come across people whose accents are a little bit difficult to understand. You just have to be
Yeah.
compassionate and you have to listen and, and maybe even say, excuse me, I didn't understand. Like earlier when you said quote card, and I thought you said gold card.
You can call them gold cards, but these golden nuggets from the episodes. So let's call them gold cards
Well, but
from
it's
now on.
even in the United States, there are some people that you talk to and you don't understand what they're saying. Like, it's really difficult for me to understand someone who speaks with a Cajun accent because their accent is, really French. The French language is really guttural and not guttural, but
Yeah.
really in the front of your mouth.
Yeah,
And,
true.
sometimes it sounds like they're chewing on their tongue when they're talking. And so you have to really listen. And nothing against Cajuns because I love Cajun food, but you just have to pay attention and listen. And a lot of people get frustrated, but if you just slow down and you listen, you should be able to communicate because the world is getting smaller. We're getting more and more people on the planet, but we're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Smaller and smaller and smaller. It's so easy to have a conversation with Noemi in Cyprus, and I'm in Michigan, United States, and we're just having this great conversation with absolutely no lag at all because technology is awesome. I don't think we've even had any hiccups in this conversation either.
I don't
Sometimes you
think
get
so. No, it's
lips.
working well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah,
So
it's
amazing.
brilliant.
Amazing. Okay. So this is the final question that I ask everybody. It's my favorite question, but it's also kind of sad because it means the episode's over. But for whom or what are you most grateful? This is your moment of gratitude.
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm most grateful, I think, for my parents because they taught me so many things in life that I could, use as an adult, and I'm very grateful for that. And plus, today is my late dad's birthday, so it's a very special day for me. So yeah, it's a special time for me as well. So I'm definitely most, grateful for them because without them, I wouldn't be here.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast helping DIY marketers attract raving fans and repeat buyers. I hope you've gained some valuable insights and strategies that you can apply to your own business today. Don't forget to check out the show notes on our website, gratitudegeek.com, for links to all the groovy resources we discussed in today's episode, including links to connect with Noemi Perez. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to subscribe to the show on Audible, iTunes, Stitcher, or any of your favorite podcast players, including Good Pods, so you never miss an episode. Our theme music is Track 14 by Rev Rock and Soul Lily. I've been your host, Candace Ridardi, reminding you that gratitude is like manure. It's just a pile of poo until you spread it around. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.